Welcome to I'm Obsessed With This, the Netflix podcast about the shows and films viewers cannot get enough of. Today we're going to be talking about the extremely ridiculous and extremely addictive Netflix original competition series, The Circle. And we'll also chat with one of its stars, Chris Sapphire, later in the episode. Today I am joined via satellite, or whatever this is. I never know how to say that. I guess everything's via satellite. By TV writer, including the Cartoon Network series Summer Camp Island, and co-host of everyone's favorite Vanderpump Rules / reality TV podcast, Sexy Unique Podcast, Carrie O'Donnell.
Hi.
I've wanted you on the podcast for so long, and here you are.
I know. I'm such a fan of you as a podcaster and a human, so I feel very blessed.
Such a huge ditto. Well, I'm glad you're here.
I've known you for a while. I was thinking about that when I was coming over. We've been like, and Chris, I feel like we've all been like internet friends for like 5 years. It's crazy.
Oh, at least. How did you enjoy the Oscars? I kind of missed the opening of your Oscar banter.
Oh, like,
did
yeah.
Did you have a good night?
Yeah, it was fun.
Hollywood's biggest night in Hollywood.
Hollywood was alive last night. The roads were blocked off. It felt kind of like some kind of quarantine was happening. I loved it. I thought Parasite win was really great and kind of the most exciting thing for me, at least watching. I thought Renee's speech was hilarious and awesome, and she when she mentioned firefighters, I was like in another room and I heard her, like I left midway through her speech because it was so long to go like put moisturizer on my face, and in the other room I heard her say something about firefighters and I was like, I gotta get back. So I went back and finished the tail end of it, but that was pretty great.
It was a narrative that it wasn't in any order. Like, you could, that whole speech, all of the sentences could have been jumbled and put in a different order and it would have had the exact same effect. Like, the first word of her speech could have been firefighters and it would have been an identical speech, ostensibly. Like,
yeah, it was kind of a fable, the whole speech. It was like some kind of epic, like almost like a poem.
Yes. Every speech was like extremely, extremely unique. I mean, I know that always happens with the actor speeches, but like they all felt extremely different this year.
Yeah, it was chaotic energy. I think it's very reflective of the time we're living in. So it just felt right.
Okay, we are not here to talk about the Oscars. We are here to talk about The Circle, which is a deranged Netflix competition show. Before we get into the deranged Netflix competition show, Carrie, what have you been watching on your Netflix account that is not The Circle?
Okay, I didn't really make this public, but I did watch that show right after New Year's. I watched Messiah with Michelle Monaghan.
I've sort of been on the fence there.
I know. It's a wild show. I just, you know, when like on New Year's Day, when you're just like, give me anything, because you're just so like fragile. So I went with Messiah because I do love like a good end of the world show.
Oh, yeah.
But it was a wild journey for me. And I stayed with it through the whole thing. And I tried to like, I was very like careful about how... who I told I was watching it, because it does, it's a very, no one was talking, you know, when like no one's talking about it and you're almost like afraid to be like, I'm watching this. I just love watching Michelle Monaghan, like one of her eyelids always like flutter, and like it's, she has very like her, she does a lot of eye acting, which I'm into. And I also watched this show, I started watching it again because I like watched it sort of not really thinking about it as I was watching it, but I returned to it, the show Black Summer with Jamie King.
I have no idea what this show is.
I know. I guess I'm going for all like the gritty apocalyptic shows, so I'm probably boring, but
Black Summer. No, this is good because I've never heard of it.
It's a gritty zombie show.
Who is in it? Jamie King is in it?
Jamie King.
Jamie King is in a zombie show?
Yeah,
and I've never heard of this.
She anchors the show. She's the center of it. Stephen King tweeted about it, so I got into it.
You really gave me the range that I was looking for here, and I was not expecting it.
I know.
Like, the opposite of The Circle, like the mass entertainment that everyone is watching and talking about, and then you like literally told me about a show that I've never heard of. Okay, we're going to talk about The Circle.
On social media, you can be anyone.
Let the games begin.
And say anything.
Okay, let me think.
So who would you be if $100,000 was on the line? Welcome to The Circle.
What's up, Circle?
A new social experiment where players don't meet face to face.
What?
They only communicate through the circle.
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 Circle? Take me to my profile.
Oh, man. This is better than Christmas.
I'm interested in knowing, just because everyone is watching The Circle, before we get into the meat and potatoes of The Circle,
sure.
How did you discover The Circle? Is this something that was just served to you? Did you watch this because of social media pressure? Did you watch this because you love, I mean, you like reality TV shows, but reality competition shows are sort of an entirely different genre. How did you get there?
Yeah, I saw a lot of gays tweeting about it. I saw someone do sort of like me as one of the characters in the circle, like a front-facing comedy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then my sister was talking about it a lot. And she loves like The Bachelor and all that. So I was hearing her, she was kind of sealed the deal for me. And I was like, all right. So I started watching it. And I was immediately disoriented. And, you know, it felt kind of like Black Mirror. And I was also disoriented of where they actually filmed it. Which, so lots of external things right off the bat drew me in. My first instinct when I saw the exterior shots, I was like, they filmed this in like Manchester or something, or like deep England. And then I confirmed that. So I was like, okay, so this is very, it felt very dystopian, Black Mirror-y to me, which I love. So that kind of kept me going.
We've established. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. You've gotten that. I just love how loud everyone was. Like, their volume, like, when they were just sitting. Like, I just love the idea of people sitting in their apartments just shouting at, like, the wall, you know? So that, lots of that. Yeah. So that was, like, initially, those were my first, like, okay, this is something I can get behind. And I thought they were, like, very just kind. They seemed very kind off the bat and, like, very earnest people. Even the catfish ones who were deceiving everyone. So those were, like, my ground floor. That's what hooked me in.
Yeah, and it's also one of those shows, because they're all so isolated, like, you can't really participate in truly nasty, devious behavior from, you know, from your living room couch.
Yeah.
Really. Like, you can be deceitful, and you can be a little conniving, and, like, you can be a little, you can scheme, but you can't be disgust, like, you can't be despicable.
You can't be messy, for sure.
You know? Yeah.
So I also wanted to know, like, what the apartment smelled like. Because I know they definitely had, like, a cleaning service come in, because some of their apartments were, like, super neat, and it looked like they just gotten a fresh vacuum, like, on the rugs. But I just, it felt like almost like people being in, like, a space station, and you're wondering, like, just that staleness. Because they have, like, their balconies blocked off by that bamboo fence thing, so they're just, like, sealed in there, and they can go up on their roof once in a while. But I was just wondering just the air and the vibe of those rooms.
It's probably pretty gross.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty stale.
Yeah, it felt like college, like a college dorm or something.
But you're right, like, the whole thing felt disorienting, and they've said in interviews since, like, being in there truly was as disorienting as you think it was. But even to the viewer, it's like, what's going on here? It took me a while to even figure out what, when everyone was telling me to watch The Circle and they were obsessed with The Circle, again, gay people, they were like, you gotta watch it, here's what happens. And they'd be like, well, this happens, and they talk to the thing, and then it makes them, then they have to set the profile, and then they have to decide who's a catfish, and then they vote. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And so there's, like, an extreme learning curve to this show, because I've never seen anything like it. And you kind of have to have your hand held by that first episode to figure out what in God's name is going on.
Yeah, you can't just jump into it. You have to, it's like a very important, for because some reality shows you can just kind of like do the recaps, but you have to really be in that first one to like indoctrinate you in this weird reality they have you in. I've never seen anything like it, like, genuinely. So I was actually very impressed by the disorientation, and you felt super claustrophobic, and then you kind of like accepted it and were sort of in there with them, which I was into. But yeah, they all seemed like, I just liked just how like happy they seemed about social media, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were just really like, they were really enthusiastic about it, and like approaching it in a way that I haven't really had maybe ever, or in like 10 years. Just this, like, it was like, it almost felt like you were watching people who've never been on the internet before be like, yes, like, we're going to do this, you know?
This is
like,
fun.
This is so fun. I love it. I love interacting and chatting, you know?
New group message.
Yeah, new group message. It's like they went to 2004 and pulled people in to, like, now, and just seeing how they would respond to it. They're like, whoa. You know what I mean?
It shows how quickly we adapt to, like, really ridiculous, insane situations. And, I mean, there are countless parallels you can make to, like, anything about contemporary life. Like, how quickly we just sort of, like, deal with crazy stuff. But when they're thrust into this weird apartment, and it's like, oh, from now on for X days, because it's extremely unclear how long they've been in that place. And they all get used to it so quickly.
I mean, that's just human nature. We just, like, accept our, like, scenario kind of fast, because it's, we have to, like, make sense of everything.
Yeah, however cursed it may be.
It was truly cursed. And they were so into their, I love in the first, when they're so into the vibe, like, they love their apartments, too. They're like, yes, this is it, you know?
What did you think of this, of the strategy in this show? Like, when you finished it, were you like, what did you take from it? Like, what would your strategy be? Because they keep changing stuff up. So ultimately, do you think the way to win was to be yourself? Because that's sort of what the show tells you, like, be yourself and then you'll win. Or do you think there is a way for someone to slide in and be this, the devious person at any given moment? Like, I will continue watching The Circle, and I'm just intrigued, like, how will the strategies evolve as it moves forward?
Just going back, like, what are they even going to do in season two? Like, is it going to be, like, I truly can't even imagine, like, how you even go about planning this. So I definitely think it was, like, improvised based on what was happening, and, like, they probably had, like, 100 different scenarios for what would happen, and all these people, like, in the holding den, like, waiting to come in. So, like, just, and feeling it out, like, that just seems so stressful, and, like, also, like, nefarious, and that's just reality TV. But I think it's a balance. You have to play the game. I think Chris played the game pretty well, because I think he was deceptively very cunning, and he hid behind his, like, mm-hmm. kind of veneer of you know, just, hey, I'm just everyone's friend. He played neutral really, but he was like,
I'm just a fun gay.
I was like, no, you're not. You're like, you're a cunning bitch, and I love it. But like. Like, I love that moment when he was like, I'm not here to, like, when he was kind of like, when they all were speculating that Miranda went to Joey's because they had some connection, he's like, damn, I just want to get, like, a window for my mom in our living room. So I was like, I was into that. But I don't know if I could fully commit to being a catfish. I think I would, like, have, like, a stress seizure from that. I think, like, that mm-hmm. just seems very, like, weighing on your soul after a while. But I guess if you're in a game, like, it doesn't, yeah. and you, like, talked it out with your partner and, like, they were supportive of it, I guess maybe it would be. But I don't think you can fully be yourself, because Bill came in and he was like, I like Bill, and he was like trying to be like the fun brother, and like they all were like no.
Yeah.
So he was out pretty fast, so he really tried to not play the game, and it swallowed him whole. Yeah.
I guess from to take a step back from a broader perspective, since you're a connoisseur of what is arguably the most fascinating reality show on television, Vanderpump Rules, as well as just like drama, messy reality TV in general.
Yeah.
As a viewer, how do you ingest this sort of television, like this reality, non-narrative television? And does it differ from the way you watch a Messiah or any other serious drama or a sitcom? Like, do you give your full attention to these shows? Do you give, like, half attention to these shows? Like, how long did it take you to watch Circle? And do you approach these types of competition shows differently than you approach other stuff?
Yeah, I think I feel way more fish out of water when I watch a competition show than I do with, like, Housewives mm-hmm. or Vanner. Because that's, like, I mean, there's plots and, like, there's, like, a driving... kind, you know, some Housewife seasons are like, and Vanderpump are less active than others, but it's like fairly stagnant,
mm-hmm.
and you can kind of just like maneuver around and just see how, like, you know, they're quiet interactions, they're loud like, you know what I mean. So I'm that is easier for me to get into, and because I can put myself mm-hmm. in their shoes. But competition stuff, I'm like, because so many people are so into The Bachelor, which I've like dipped my toe into Bachelor in Paradise for like one or two seasons. And like watch one season of The Bachelor, but I'm not really a competition reality person. I feel almost naive watching these shows, so I felt very naive watching The Circle.
But it sounds like it was still exciting because you don't typically watch this sort of stuff.
Yeah, it was so exciting because it was so not in kind of my wheelhouse, and like it was like me leaving my comfort zone, which sounds sad, but like it's true, and I was intrigued by that, and it was kind of fun to like do something different than just watch like Sheena, you know, and Marina Del Rey. So it was like, even going back to like America's Next Top Model, like that stuff was, I get more stressed when there's a competition, so I'm already uncomfortable mm-hmm. because of that, and I get stressed watching people play each other and like throw each other away and stuff. Like it stresses me out on like a human level, but I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
So you will be watching season two?
Yes, of course. I love being afraid, you know. I love being like, what's gonna happen to Karen, you know. And with Housewives, you don't have
what's
to
gonna
really
happen to Alana.
Oh my god, Alana, when they do the slow-mo walks of them walking down the hallway and it looks like they're in like a Marriott or something mm-hmm. and they're just like walking in and then Alana just comes barreling in and she's like, I've got a bone to pick with you. And then Sammy's just like, ah, you know, because she thought she was like a man or something. Like, it was, That was stressful when Alana came in, because I thought they were going to, like, have a full fight. And they're expecting that, and then they actually have, like, a calm, rational conversation.
Everyone on this show acts much more maturely than they had any right to, you know? Like, they're all taking this way much better than they should.
That was also something I noticed, too. Like, even Miranda, who I was like, oh, my God, she's going to go... Like, you're thinking she's going to... Because she was so bummed. Like, she was so upset, and she was, like, really good about it. And, like, even Alana, like, they were all, like, very... Like, to be the first one to go on a reality show... You know, I think most times is like, oh, fuck. Like, what just happened? But she took it in such good stride.
It's almost like a sensory deprivation tank or something. Like, I'm sure that these people, because they're isolated for as long as they are, even if in the grand scheme of things, it's not like they're, like, prisoners of war and they're, like, stuck in this a cell for, you know, a month.
Yeah.
But it's long enough to feel very weird, especially given how intricate... Like, the show sort of does have something to say, air quotes. But it's like, it's probably just enough to make you sort of examine the way you use social media and just the way that you live your life. And so these people were probably, when the cameras weren't, like when we didn't see this footage, because the cameras are on them all the time, in those boring moments, they were probably really stuck in like deep introspection and like, you know, knee deep in existential crises.
Oh, for
throughout
sure.
The filming of this show. I know I would have been. Like, what am I doing in this room talking to a television?
But imagine not having... any TV, any phone access, and just thinking about social media for all hours of the day. And all, like, I would be not sleeping. I would be so worried that I was going to get, you know what I mean? Like, it's because I'm already so stressed by Instagram and Twitter, and it's a hellscape. And to have it just be your sole focus every day.
And you're constantly questioning whether or not Alana is real. I would really lose it. I would lose it.
I mean, it was like very quietly deep, I think.
Very quietly deep. Were you happy with the winner? Were you happy the Joey won?
Yeah, I mean, he was sweet. I was surprised at how much I liked him.
Yeah, I was rooting for Sammy.
You wanted... Yes, I think Sammy. Mm-hmm. Sammy or Shabam, I would have been happy with. I forgot to mention that I'm obsessed with the show Instant Hotel on Netflix. That is like my...
Oh, yeah, me too.
And that is a reality... That's also a competition show, but I can get fully behind that. I want a whole spinoff show of just Babe and Bondi.
Babe and Bondi. Oh, my God. God.
I follow Babe on Instagram. And my boyfriend bought her sexy food book.
The one with all the hunks like holding cupcakes and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Her lime green syrupy margaritas that aren't margaritas. And they look like a chemical reaction of some kind.
Wasn't one of the subplots? I feel like I watched Instant Hotel 8 years ago, even though it was definitely like last spring. But wasn't there a subplot in Instant Hotel where she got mad at someone for not accepting one of her margaritas?
She took points off everyone because no one wanted to drink her margaritas. She took like 2 points off the guests. She's like, when you're here, you have to have the margarita experience. And the gay couple, sorry, this is like,
Oh, the gay couple, the like Brett horrendous gay couple.
The fussy couple, they called.
Yeah, the fussy couple. Yeah.
And he would, and Leroy would always go, the devil's in the details. The devil's in the details. He would always say that. And he got to his place and it was horrible.
I feel like it was like the scene, you know, the scene in Silence of the Lambs where you think that the FBI is at Buffalo Bill's house, but really it's Jodie Foster is at Buffalo Bill house when he opens the door and it's her. The most shocked I've ever been in a piece of media is like that. And then when they go to the fussy couple's house and you see the interior, I was like, this is their house?
That's exactly the reaction I had when Juliet walks in and she goes, oh no. She just immediately goes, oh no. She's in like the foyer. Like doesn't even, she just goes, no. She's like, I'm very disappointed. That's the first thing she says. Oh my God, it was so bad.
Oh God. I feel like we've really just like fallen off a cliff.
Sorry.
No, it's my fault. What would you say, if anything, we can close up by asking this. And I found myself wondering this a lot by the end, like in the final episodes of the show. Because I was like, I like this. I'm watching this. I'm completely fascinated by this. But I'm sort of like, why does this exist? What is this show trying to teach me? What do you think, if there is one, what is the lesson the Circle has for its audience? Or what is the lesson it's trying to give its audience, if any? Like, what can we learn from this show?
I think there's two lessons. I think there's, like, a warning, maybe. Or, like, it's sort of...
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there were, like... I guess I'm just taking it this way. But it almost felt like this is... Netflix was sort of not a punishment, but almost like a, like... this is what we've become. in a way. Like, we're in this, we're all, mm-hmm. like, it was a total metaphor for, like, we are just confined in these rooms and, like, looking, you know what I mean, and worrying about, like,
yeah,
minutia. So I think there was that going on, but I also
think
it was, like,
of it all, yeah.
But I do think at the end, like, they actually seemed, like, attached to each other, and you can form real relationships, like, on social media, which sounds, like, corny as hell, but, like, I know you guys from it, like, you know what I mean? Like, you do...
Yeah.
You can mm-hmm. actually, like, make friends and, like, cut through the bullshit and find, like, a real connection with someone via
mm-hmm.
group chats, or, you know what I mean, or what they were doing. Because at the end, yeah. they seemed, especially the original crew, they did seem really attached to each other. So I think it was, like,
mm-hmm.
in a way, I felt like there is some hope for us, like, that we can, at the end of the day, all we do want is, like, a real friendship. And so mm-hmm. that was my lesson. But also, I think there was a lot of kind of a scary glimpse into what we are. Like, we're living in that dystopia, kind of. So
if the circle surprised me and said, like, just kidding, this has all been scripted, this was a very long episode of Black Mirror, I'd be like, oh, damn. Good one.
Yeah.
Well, Carrie, thank you so much for talking to me about The Circle.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a joy.
Everyone can listen to your podcast wherever you get podcasts, Sexy Unique Podcast. Now it's time to hear from someone who was inside The Circle for, I don't know how long he was inside The Circle because he wouldn't tell me. So let's move over to my interview with Chris Sapphire from The Circle. What better way to start an interview then with flattery? You were my number one. I mean it. I wanted you to win. I'm so sad that you didn't. How are you feeling?
Oh, honey, thank you so much. And thank you to you and everybody out there that voted. I am feeling like I just lost the pageant. Mm-hmm. And you know, in Texas, the pageant is big.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, well, here we go, girls. I got the boot in the butt. I gotta go to the nearest Wendy's and get an application, honey.
How long have you been back? When was filming over? In the fall?
You know, not to give away a lot of the TV magic, but yes, the filming wrapped up late last year, mm-hmm. and then it was our massive biggest secret. I couldn't tell anybody, so you must know that I was bursting, honey, bursting at the seams to let the world know, but I couldn't. And so I've been home for a good while now.
Okay. I found it hard to explain what the show is even about to people because it's kind of complicated. And so since you've been on it, you were an actual contestant, top five. How do you explain the show to people who haven't heard of it? Like, how do you do it quickly in a way that makes sense?
Oh, honey, this is a great question. I pull out my phone and I pull up that Wikipedia article on it. And I read away. I said, hold on, give me 1 second. And then I read the Wikipedia entry because it is a little difficult to explain at first. But I think now that it's out in the world, everybody gets it. They're like, everybody wants to be on season 2. They're already asking me, how do I get on season 2? I said, wait, y'all. Damn, can y'all enjoy season 1?
When you first heard about it and you were cast on it, was your strategy always to be yourself or was being someone else ever an idea for you?
I always tell the girls this. I have a really bad memory. And so I said, I don't know how to be no other hoe. There is just no way I'm gonna roll up in here all the way from Dallas and try to be some other queen. I said, I'm gonna be me. I've been doing me since 93, even though I was born in 88. Don't hate. And so I said, I'm gonna do me. And I explained to the people why. I said, you know what? Ever since I was a child, I have always been very blessed to have the ability to connect with people. Mm-hmm. And I say that with humility and kindness, and it's true. Since I was in elementary school, I remember, dude, real talk, when I was in elementary school, in 6th grade, I won Prince of the Prom. Prince of the Prom. And this is in elementary school. Now, mm-hmm. get this. When I got to middle school, things became even weirder. I will never forget one day when I walked into my middle school, I was ambushed by a bunch of girls and they wanted to take photos with me. And I said, what is going on? After I left middle school and I went into high school, I remember the very first day, these girls were like, your name's Chris, right? And I was like, yes, nice to meet you. They're like, we've heard of you. So I don't know what God is up to up in the heavens, but I'm very appreciative, and I just naturally have this love for people. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do me. I'm going to use that gift God gave me, and let's see how far I get.
And you got close. I think that is sort of interesting because all of the top four were the people who were themselves, and it sort of seems like the winning strategy, or at least part of the winning strategy, is to be yourself. Is that sort of what you took away from it?
I would tell anybody who wants to do season two, it's like, baby, just be yourself.
Yeah.
If you already live in a world where everybody's putting on shows and charades, it's like, baby, give yourself a chance. You know, let the Lord shine through, mm-hmm. and let's see what it can do for you, you know?
Yeah.
I think it went so hard to be a catfish because I just can't keep up. You see on the show, I had a big old notebook.
I saw your notebook. I wanted to ask about that. You were always, occasionally other people would be writing in notebooks, but you were doing it the most. What kinds of notes were you taking throughout the show? Like, what was your strategy when it came to recording things and keeping things straight? Keeping track of everything.
Well, I was taking down details like age, where they're from, what do they like to do, you know, little tidbits here on there on their personalities, mm-hmm. just in case I was going to start clocking them if they were like breaking character. I'm like, catfish, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, unbeknownst to the public, a lot of the other parts of the notebook were a bunch of Bible verses, and mm-hmm. I would spend a lot of time meditating, and that's how it would keep me, you know, keep my spirit grounded. Keep my spirit zen and focused because it was very long, long hours, long days, and a lot of personalities, you know? And so there's cameras on you 24/7. So I was like, oh, hold up. I need all of Jesus up in here, all of it.
I guess that kind of leads me to my next question, which is that it seems like it must have been. I read an interview with Joey where he was talking about how the lights were bright and that's why he wore sunglasses so often indoors. And it was kind of hard to keep track of what time it was and what day it was. But you never seemed to show that sort of stress. Do you think it was that meditating and your relationship with God that helped you stay focused and stay so seemingly clear throughout the whole thing?
Absolutely. Oh, 100%. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people... get stressed under pressure, mm-hmm. or they feel that it is them that has to do everything in the world. And with my spiritual practices, I've learned and I'm learning to release the I, to release the me, and to focus more on he. You know, when you read the Bible and you really start to digest it, it's really telling you it's not what Chris is going to do, it's what God is going to do through you. Mm-hmm. So I'm beginning to realize that we're just a bunch of people being used by God if you let them. That's why they say surrender your life to God. So that's how I remained calm, because I was, you know, in that zone of, it's not me, Chris, it's God. And there's a beautiful Bible verse that says, the battle's not yours, but it's the Lord's. And so it really helps to take the pressure off yourself. And look, the Lord kept me calm, collected, gathered. And it's a true testament to the power of how good God is. Ooh.
And it could just let you focus on playing the game and having fun in that house.
Yeah.
You didn't have to stress about it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
but I will tell y'all this fun fact. Girl, it was hot up in there. If y'all see all them Dyson fans in everybody's room, babe, it was hot.
Did they have air conditioning or was it just fans? Because every once in a while you could see leaves were blowing and hair was blowing and it looked like fans were on all the time.
Well, honey, at least something was blowing. I'll just play. I'll go to church. it was a little warm, you know, mm-hmm. there's a lot of lights and so that can get a little warm, but being the girl that I am, I said, you know what? I ain't complaining.
Right.
I'm just going to keep it moving. Mm-hmm. And so I have my little fan with me. Yeah.
What if you could do the game all over again, same cast, would you do anything differently or would you have done everything the same?
I think I would just keep being me, do my same strategy, but I would speak a little bit faster. You see, I noticed in the game when I'm watching it over, I'm like, circle, can you please? And it's like, Chris, if you don't stop and just start talking, you know, I didn't know how to play. That's another thing I want to tell the audience. I didn't know how to play. I went into the circle completely blind when I first arrived. I didn't even know how to turn the TV on. I didn't know if it was touchscreen screen or you got to poke it somewhere. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know how to do any of this.
Did they sort of do that to everyone? Everyone just was sent in there without really any, you learn as you go, sent in with no rules, learn as you go, just see what happens.
See, now I don't know. I don't know about that because some of the other players, I'm not sure if they had tuned in to watch the UK version or not. I'm that kind of queen. I'm like, you know what? I want to just go in there and let the Lord flow through mm-hmm. and let's have fun and let's keep it real. You know, if I would have watched the UK version, then I probably would have already been like, I know what's coming up. And I kind of enjoy not knowing because everything's more organic that mm-hmm. way.
It seems a little more fun to go in there and have it all be surprising.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you don't want to know what's going on in Willy Wonka land. You want to be surprised by the chocolate.
Exactly. What is your favorite memory from the whole circle experience?
Ooh, my favorite memory I would have to say is when I first got to meet some of the players face to face at the dinner. Oh, honey, I was so excited to meet them. You know, we had been in our apartments and we're playing the game and you're playing the game. And then when that alert came on and said, you get to meet the players face to face. I said, oh my God, things just so real.
Yeah.
And so, you know me, I'm from Dallas and we do things real big up in here, mm-hmm. the Big D. So I said, I'm pulling out my purple glittery blazer, honey. I'm going to pull out that Alyssa Edwards makeup palette from Anastasia Beverly Hills. And I'm going to beat this face to for all capacity, what they call over here in Dallas. Bitch, you are casket ready.
How long was the dinner? Because on the show, you can't get a sense of how long you were actually in there. But how long was that experience with them?
It was a nice, good, I want to say we were in there for maybe a good hour.
Oh, wow.
It felt like a good hour. And oh my goodness, the conversation was so good. I wish they could have kept it all in there. We talked about everything. We talked about life and our experience in the game. Mm-hmm. When I first walked in, I remember I saw Sammy and Shubham and I was like, oh, they're real. Was just so happy that these hoes were real. You'll see in that clip, I turn over and I throw my hands up and I'm looking at Seabird and I'm like, who's this? It didn't dawn on me that that was Rebecca. I thought it was a producer or somebody who's part of the production. They're just kicking with the girls. And that's, I'm like, who's this? And then then when it's revealed it's Rebecca, I was like, oh.
Is there anyone you thought was a catfish who wasn't?
Is there anyone I thought was a catfish who was not?
Yeah.
I think in the beginning, as the game starts, I was more in the headspace of like, they all could be catfishes. Mm-hmm. Don't trust anybody. Mm-hmm. Or if they're real, you know, just have fun with it. That's why when I met Mercedes, I went with the energy that was more like, I don't care if she's real or not. I fell in love with whoever I was speaking to. Mm-hmm. And so I was in that headspace like, hey, they could all be catfishes. Or they could be real. You know, whatever it is, just keep going, Chris, and keep doing you. And so when Mercedes walked in, oh my gosh, honey, the crack of all time. Everybody's face just got cracked, honey.
I think that's my favorite part of the whole season when Karen, it's her real name is Karen, right? That was her name.
Yeah.
When Karen shows up. Yeah, when Karen shows up, I think that was my favorite moment. Can you talk more about what happened then and what you were feeling?
Okay, so when someone gets eliminated on the circle, they could go to anybody's apartment. Mm-hmm. And so we're all waiting there with anticipation, like, is it going to be me? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Honey, the door knock. Girl, my eyes got so big. I said, oh my God, I don't know who this is. Is it going to be Miss Karen? Or is it somebody telling me, Chris, get the hell out of here? And so she walks in and I was just shocked. I was so shocked because I thought it was going to be Mercedes. I'm like, who is this lady? But instantly I embraced her because that's when it dawned on me. Okay, you were catfish, Miss Thang. You were mm-hmm. just catfish boots. And I gave her the biggest hug. I was so happy. We went and sat on that couch. I swear if I would have had a big ass bottle of Patron, I would have busted that open and me and her would have just sat there all night throwing our heads all the way back.
Have you stayed in touch with her?
Oh yes, honey. We talk every day. Me and that queen, she wants to come down to Dallas to kick in, hang out. I have a lot of her fans over here want to meet her. Mm-hmm. And so, God willing, she'll come down and we'll just have a good old catch up, mm-hmm. a good old Southern catch up. But we talked about so many things. We actually bonded over a really famous internet personality named T.S. Madison. I don't know if you know who T.S. is. She's huge on the internet. And I said, I cannot believe you know who T.S. Madison is. I said, that is a homegirl of mine in this world. And so I said, look how small the world is that here I am with Karen and we know somebody, a mutual person. And I thought, man, look at God.
That's great. Where does she live now?
I believe she lives in New York.
In New York? Okay. Oh yeah, that's right. She's, yeah, that's right. That's what her intro was about.
Yes.
Well, that's great. Is there anyone else? Is she the person you've remained closest with since the show?
Oh, I talk to everybody.
That's great.
Yes, we have a private group chat on Instagram, honey, and we chat every day. Joey called me the other day. I keep in touch a lot with Sammy. But girl, we talk with everybody.
That's good to know. It's like, I think reality shows like this, competition shows are like this are more fun to watch when people aren't being mean all the time, when you know that everyone is truly friends at the end of it. Because we all like when people fight. Like, we like watching fights on television. But I think at the end of the day, it's a little more satisfying when people are friends at the end.
Oh, most definitely. And I think that's what's really drawing people to the circle right now is that in these times we're living in where there's just so much injustice and evil running rampant everywhere, people need a little dose of kindness. Mm-hmm. And so when I went into the circle, I didn't know that that's how this was going to play out. I was ready for anything. Mm-hmm. I was ready for a bottle to be thrown at my head. You know, when it came down to this, and now we see that it's radiating so much love and oozing love, I can't help but to just thank God that me putting my foot in the door with the circle like this, it was a door full of love. And I was like, this is so amazing. I'm glad that the world is loving that love because we need some of that right now. Mm-hmm. We need a lot of that right now.
Now that the show is very popular and everyone who watches knows who you are, how has your life sort of changed since you've been a figure that people are obsessed with now? People love Chris. People love everyone on the circle. But how has your life changed from people being obsessed with you?
Well, first, I want to say to all the listeners, thank y'all so much. Thank y'all for believing in me, for supporting my journey. I read all your messages. I try to get back to as many of you as I can. It has been very wild, very surreal. And I don't think anybody can prepare you for something like this. Mm-hmm. You know, when I got home from the circle, I only had like 4,000, maybe 600 followers, 4,700. Mm-hmm. And right now I look at my phone and we're about to hit 170,000 from all parts of the world. Mm-hmm. It is just absolutely insanity. I never knew what this felt like. I never knew what posting a photo and then you see 30,000, 20,000 likes and 600 comments, whatever. It's insane. Yeah. Absolutely insane.
What do you want to do with your newfound, you know, Instagram fame?
Oh my God. I always think everything's about, you know, furthering the kingdom of God on earth. So I definitely want to start my own brand of hot sauce. Oh baby, I want to conquer the world. You know, my ultimate dream in life is to be able to provide for my family, to make sure that they have everything that they need, including health. But a huge dream of mine is to have my own hot sauce brand, my own makeup line, because I started as a makeup artist and I love makeup. I've been wearing makeup since I was 14.
And you were talking about your parents. It seemed like I noticed that you had a photo of your parents on your dresser during the show. And it was so nice when you got to talk to your mom at the end when she sent that message. What did your parents think of the show? Did they like it?
Okay, so my mom is just on cloud nine. She watches The Circle over and over and over every day. She loves watching the interview part. Mm-hmm. She loves watching her part where she comes and talks to me. She starts crying and crying on the couch every time. And it's because she knows why I was over there. I was over there really hoping to win, really hoping to come back, because with 100,000, I know that's not a lot of money in today's world, but for us people who live here, you know.
It could change your life, yeah.
Yeah, it would change our lives, you know. I was really hoping to win, but I didn't. And so now I'm just, you know, living on a prayer.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good to know that your parents just seem so supportive of you and your time on the show. I think that's just a really nice thing to see on a show like this.
Oh, they're very supportive. My dad's very old school. He's from San Bernardo, Durango, Mexico. Okay. Mexico. And he's old school. He comes from a little town, population maybe 1,000 people, with donkeys, pigs, chickens, adobe houses. Straight up Mexico. For all my Mexican people out there, y'all know what I'm talking about. And so my dad watches the show, and he's just like, si, mijo. Oh, andale, mijo. Sigale pelante and all that. And so, but he doesn't really understand the enormity of it or what it is. He's just happy that I'm on there. But it's funny watching him watch it, because he's just like nodding his head like, this crazy ass kid. Because all my life I've always told him of the things I wanted to do and what I've done. And now he sees me on Netflix and he's just like, this crazy ass kid up on this TV with all that makeup on, and he loves it. He thinks it's so funny.
That's great. Talking to the TV, how long did it take to get used to speaking your messages out loud?
That was so easy for me, girl. I talk to myself now. I sit in front of a mirror and just do monologues and all kinds of weird crap.
Do you still find yourself speaking it out whenever you want to send a text?
No, actually, no. I'm back to normality.
I guess we can move on to the other thing. So what, this is a Netflix podcast, gotta talk about Netflix. What else have you been watching that you've been obsessed with lately?
Oh honey, I watched The Two Popes the other day, you know me, and it was such a great movie. You know, we have to know that people evolve, things are changing, the times change, and it's introducing God to this new time we're in, and God will fit in every time period. But, you know, it's about introducing it in a way. And he has that magic. He has that ability to speak about God to the 21st century. And I love this new pope. Everybody, y'all gotta watch it.
Yeah, everyone watch The Two Popes. It's good. It's good.
Yeah. I also want to highly recommend Dancing Queen for all the audience out there. Dancing Queen, it's a Netflix original starring the iconic, the one and only, she is world famous, my good Judy from Another Booty, Miss Alyssa Edwards. If y'all have not seen Dancing Queen, please go and see it, especially if you're a massive fan of the RuPaul's
Drag Race. Yeah.
Yes. Alyssa Edwards is my neighbor. We've been friends for more than 10 years. She is the Grand Dame Diva of Dallas, the head of the House of Edwards, and my fairy drag mother. See, I've never done drag. People right now on Twitter think I'm a drag queen. I'm like, hey, you can call me a drag queen, a woman, a man. You can call me. Just call me, honey. And it follows Alyssa Edwards' life as a dance school teacher, a mentor, and a world-famous drag queen. Honey, if you love all that, you're in for the ride of your life. She is hilarious. I think, you know, on the eighth day, the Lord made Alyssa Edwards. Straight up.
It feels like a sappy way to end our conversation, but I mean it. What will you take from your time in the circle now that people all over the world are obsessed with you, like on a personal level? Do you think it's changed your life in any way, or are you the same Chris you were when you walked in?
I think what my time on the circle has done for me, it has affirmed that I am on the right track. I want to tell the listeners that in my journey through life, there was a time where I was bullied really horribly, not in school, but by grown adults and people that didn't understand me out in the world. They would say really mean things about me behind my back, that I'm fake and just horrible things about me. And I think me being me on the show has really affirmed to me that God is truly working through me, really through me and around me, and he's present in a time of need. And I don't want to get emotional, but it feels really, really good that the people around the world see me for me, see the real me, the me that I've always been. Ever since I found God when I was 14, I've been walking with him, and I've learned now not to take those mean comments personally, because in the Bible it says, it's not that they don't like you, they don't like me. And I'm like, amen to that. God is so good. I'm so thankful for everything he's doing for me. I pray that I'm going to be able to help my family. And I just want to say thank you to all the beautiful fans out there who support the circle, support all the cast, and are supporting my journey. And I'm very, very thankful to you all. Thank you to you, honey, for having me on the show. And you know, while we're on the subject of Netflix, I just want to say a quick shout out and a big thank you to Jonathan Van Ness from Queer Eye. I just want to say thank you, Jonathan, for being so fearless, for being so you it gives people like me strength to continue on in a world like this.
And I think this show is going to give other people strength too.
I sure hope so. I do.
But thank you so much for talking to me.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And remember, everybody, #spread love like butter. Bye.
Bye.